Although in general, whether there is an obligation of yibum or not depends on the time of death, when the man dies. So if, let's say, he has no children at the time of death, then even if he had a child before, if that child had died before he died, then there would not be an obligation of yibum. And the same applies for the yavam. If the yavam is born after the man died, so that brother is not able to perform the mitzvah of yibum. However, there is a sort of exception to this, and that is if the dead man's wife was pregnant at the time of death, and then a few months later she gave birth to a child. So although at the time of death the man did not have any children, nevertheless, since at least his wife was pregnant at the time of death, so if she does end up having a surviving child, then there will be no obligation of yibum. In addition, at least according to the conclusion of the Gemara, if the child ends up not surviving, so either she miscarries, or if it's not known after how many months of pregnancy the baby was born, so in such a case, if the baby dies within the first 30 days of its life, that is a sign that the baby was never actually destined to survive, and we view that like a miscarriage. So in such a case, if the child does not end up being a surviving child, so it emerges that there is an obligation of yibum or chalitza. Now, what happens if the yavam performed yibum or chalitza during the pregnancy, before he waited to see whether there would be an obligation or not? So even if it turns out there is going to be an obligation, the yibum or chalitza which he did then is not valid. Again, this is learned from Pesukim, that during this period of pregnancy, things are put on hold. The halacha states that you need to wait and see whether there is an obligation. And only once it is clear that there is an obligation is one able to fulfill that obligation. Be as it may, says the Mishnah, Acholitz Levimtoi, one who performs chalitza to his yavama, the nimtzeis moberes, and she is found to be pregnant, the yolda, and then she gave birth. In a time, in a situation, where the child is a surviving child, he is still permitted to marry the relatives of his chalutza, the woman on whom he performed chalitza, and the chalutza is permitted to marry the relatives of him, of the yavam, because the chalitza was not actually valid chalitza at all. There was no obligation, even at the end, because the child did survive, and likewise, he does not invalidate the chalutza from then marrying a koyein, although the halacha is that a chalutza may not marry a koyein midrabanan, since over here she is not considered a chalutza, because even at the end there was no obligation of chalitza, so she can go and marry a koyein. In a valid shel kayama, what happens if the child does not end up being a surviving child? So who also becomes seha? He is forbidden to marry her relatives, and she is forbidden to marry his relatives, and as well as that of Solomon Akahuna, he has invalidated her from going ahead and marrying a Koyein. Now, according to what we explained, even in this case where there is an obligation of chalitza or yibum, the chalitza which she already did is not valid. So according to the strict letter of the law, she is not yet invalid to marry a Koyein, and she shouldn't really be forbidden to marry his relatives either. However, this is midrabanan, since it does appear at the end of the day that she did perform chalitza, because it emerges that there was no child, so there is an obligation of chalitza or yibum, so people will think that the chalitza was valid. So even if the yavam would, let's say, die before managing to do another chalitza, midrabanan, we would view it as if she did receive chalitza already.